Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for taking the first paragraph of my message there. I'm going to have to work through that one. Let's open with prayer. I'm going to just open with prayer here. Father God, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, for this call on my life to be a pastor, Lord, and to be able to speak to people and to just claim your words in their life, Lord. I just pray, Father God, that you would speak through me, that the words that I use would be your words to their heart, Lord. And I just ask, Father God, that you would just pour out anointing for receiving and for delivery, Lord. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, since Chris took the first paragraph of my sermon, I'll just start. Well, you're going to rehear it. As many of you know, Annalie and I are enrolled in CAMS, which is the Calling and Ministry Studies through the Church of God, which is our denomination. And one thing that I have discovered is that when you have a call to pastor or a call to lead people, everything has to do with character. Not the character I used to be, but godly character. The character of Christ. Character is defined as the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So basically what that means is the way that you think of yourself and how you process your environment is what's going to shape the character that the people see around you. We have five main values of our culture here at Harvest Valley. Character, communication, excellence, loyalty, and stewardship. And I believe character is at the top of that list because character is interwoven through everything that we do. And this is just very important to me. I mean, character, I've always tried to live with good character. I'm finding that I have a lot of growing to do. So how do we define character here at Harvest Valley? The way we define that is living with courage in integrity, compassion, and humility. Now, that doesn't jive with our flesh. It doesn't line up with how we want to be. It's a very difficult thing to do. Our leadership, the core team, our pastors, the leaders here, they demonstrate it extremely well. We see character in everything that they do. But the character of our church isn't in the leadership. It's not only in the leadership. It's the sum of all of our character together. So it's very important that all of us develop the characteristics of Christ. So how does one's personal character manifest in life? Or more specifically, through your gifting, okay? So if we look at your character as like a flower garden, and the Holy Spirit is the wind that blows through that flower garden, as the wind blows through your character from the flower garden, the downwind experience is very pleasant. You're smelling flowers, it's lovely, unless you have hay fever. That, you know. But if your character is represented by something like a skunk, okay? And I say skunk because if you look at a skunk, they're pretty cute, big fluffy tail, white on black, pretty cool looking little animal. But when their character comes out, that's just a bad day waiting to happen. So if the Holy Spirit blows through a character represented by the skunk, the downwind effect is going to be foul, tainted, maybe even offensive. So that's another reason to develop our character. Because our personal character is going to show up in everything that we do. So how do we develop the characteristics of Christ? The main scripture that I want to look at is Matthew 16:15 and 16. I'll be reading out of the Passion Translation today. That's Matthew 16:15-16. "But you, who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked. Peter spoke up. He says, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." I really want to talk about the life of Peter and the character development that he went through from start to finish in his walk with Christ. I really think I'd get along with Pete pretty well. He was a sailor. He was a fisherman. Right away, you know he's not a polished member of society. He's just a guy trying to make a living. He's got a family, got a business, needs to pay his taxes. Sound familiar?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, none of the disciples would be what you would call the cream of the crop. If you look at who the disciples are in modern terms, you have Matthew, the IRS agent, Simon, the political anarchist, Judas, the corporate embezzler, and the rest are pretty much the cast of America's Deadliest Catch. And Jesus said, "Go change the world." I think Jesus knew there was going to be some character development going along. I'm just guessing. There are seven stages of character development that generally happen. And the first one is crisis. Generally, we experience a crisis. And a crisis can be many different things. You can have a bad crisis, like, I just lost my job. My wife wants a divorce. My child's on drugs. My mother-in-law's coming over. You can have a good choice, and that's not against any mother-in-laws. That's not just... You can have a good crisis. I just got my dream job, and I have to move. I'm getting married. My wife's pregnant. I'm going to be a dad. A crisis is really anything that changes the status quo. And with that, Peter had a crisis. That's where he started out. He's out fishing on the bank, Sea of Galilee, throwing his nets. And Jesus comes walking down, coming along. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And if you think about that, Peter really didn't know anything about Jesus at that time. He was a rabbi, but really there was nothing established as the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Peter has a crisis. He's got a business. He's got a family to support. He's got all these things. But there's one thing, that there's a yearning in his heart. Something about this says, "I need to go." So this is the crisis that he's in. And when you're in crisis, the first thing that you start doing is asking questions. So the second step in character development is questioning. You start asking questions. You're searching for answers to your dilemma. In this example, the Jesuses, the disciples are trying to figure out who Jesus is. And this verse is paraphrased from Matthew 8:27. I'll recap the story. The disciples are in the boat. Jesus is with them. And a big storm comes up. Now, these guys are experienced sailors. They grew up on the Sea of Galilee. They've seen storms before. But this one has them scared. I mean, the boat's creaking, water's crashing over. They're worried that they're going to die. And where's Jesus? He's the Son of God. I don't think he snores, but you get the point. He's asleep. They're terrified, and he's asleep. He's a carpenter, a land lover, and he's asleep in the boat, and they're terrified. They wake him up. He wakes up. Did you guys woke me up for what? Don't you have any faith? Where's your faith? Fine. Knock it off. Flat calm. No wind. Exactly. And now they're asking, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey his voice. The third stage of character development is profession, or a confession of what you believe. The culmination of all the answers you receive from your questioning as they apply to your crisis will lead you to a profession of faith or belief. And that leads us to our key scripture today, Matthew 16, 15, and 16. But you, who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. Peter answered and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus goes on to say that Peter is blessed because this revelation didn't come from man. It came from God. Peter just made a very, very strong profession of faith that was given to him by God. But did he believe that? We'll get back to that. Before we go on with Peter's story, I want to share from a sermon that Mark Crawford did in the Kingdom Gathering in LaBarge this year. And he called it the four C's. And it's four C's of faith building, I believe is what it was. And those four C's, you have the first C is convinced. When you are convinced of something, it's very difficult for someone to change your mind, almost impossible for somebody to change your mind because you are convinced. Being convinced will make you confident. Confident in what you believe in. That confidence is going to give you courage. Third C is courage. And through that courage, when you apply it to the things of Christ, you will have conquest. So that brings us back on our church's definition of character. The reason that we have the ability to be living with the courage and integrity, compassion, and humility is because we believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God is the living, breathing Word of God. The Bible, yes. The Bible, yes. Is the living, breathing Word of God. Thank you. So really, we only have two sides of this coin. You either believe or you don't believe. So I want to look at what the four C's would be of the other side of that coin. And the first C would be not to be convinced or to doubt. And what that looks like is, I know it's the Word of God, but I don't believe that it applies to me or my situation. That's the first little toehold that the devil can get in there in that doubt. And he will develop that, he will exploit that.
Come on. Yeah.
He will get into your mind and he will wreak havoc on your thoughts. And he's relentless, absolutely relentless. And remember this, a toehold becomes a foothold, becomes a stronghold. There's a the fruit of a foothold is confusion. Confusion is your second point. Who thought counting would be so hard? You start entertaining voices and thoughts from outside sources. You start hearing a lot of different opinions. The Word of God is straightforward. But you start hearing all these different voices and different things. The enemy's attacking you. Other people may be saying things. And now, because of all that chaos, you can't even hear the Word of God. You can't hear that still small voice speaking to you. All that leads to corrupted thinking. Corrupted thinking is your third one. And that looks like God doesn't really care about me or anything that I'm going through. And honestly, that flies right in the face of the gospel. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. But we believe it because we're confused and our thinking has been corrupted. And that dismal road only goes to a calloused heart. Calloused heart is your fourth. The things of God cannot exist in a calloused heart. There isn't any room. It takes a major move of the Holy Spirit to break off a calloused heart. I can give you a testimony on that. Last December, about a year ago, I was sitting at my kitchen table and I was screaming at God. I don't recommend it. But I was telling him, or asking him, am I the only one on this planet that can't be saved? About a year prior to that, I had believed a lie from the enemy, and there was a toehold. And I started a downward spiral through confusion, corrupted thinking, and a calloused heart that culminated at me sitting at my kitchen table screaming at God. That was the lowest point in my life. I'll come back to that story in just a little bit. Spoiler alert, I was wrong. If you are not convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, you will never be able to develop Christ-like character. Amen. So the fourth stage in character development is challenge. You will be challenged. If you make a profession, if you believe something, you are going to be challenged in that because the devil does not want you claiming any ground. He will do everything in his power to trip you up. After Jesus was arrested, Peter's warming himself by the fire. He's in the courtyard. Someone came up to him and said, weren't you with Jesus? No, man, that wasn't me. No, your voice, your speech, you're Galilean. You were with him. Nope, don't know him. Three times he denied Jesus. Something to be aware of. Just because you get a revelation from God that says something to you, a God truth, if you don't cement that in your heart, you will not have that to pull on when you are challenged. You need to ground that in bedrock so that it becomes a part of you. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. You won't hold up to the challenge. How many times have I done that? How many times have I denied Christ? Because I was afraid of what y'all would think. Maybe not y'all, but some other y'alls. All y'all, thank you. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. The fifth stage of character development is confirmation. And again, we'll paint the scene. Jesus has gone to the cross, crucified, buried, resurrected. He's making cameo appearances here and there. Walking along the beach, he reveals himself. There's a really cool story there about catching 153 fish. It's just really pretty cool. But Jesus is on the beach, reveals himself to the apostles. They have breakfast together. Officially the first men's breakfast. And Jesus takes Peter aside and restores him to his place as apostle and gives him the order, feed my sheep. He didn't sit there and go, I told you you're going to do this. He didn't bring up the past at all. And Jesus isn't going to bring up our mistakes. He's not going to bring up our mistakes at all. So we need to stop rehashing them. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Amen. We need to put our past in the past.
Yes.
So back to my example. On the third Sunday of the year, in January there, just after I was screaming at God, I was sitting in the back seat back there. Worship was going on. People are standing, singing praise to God. I had nothing to sing about. Absolutely nothing. I was at church because it was the right thing to do. Now, it was where I was supposed to be, but I had no connection. God walked into the room. I'm not saying I had a warm, fuzzy feeling. The Holy Spirit came and everything was nice. I mean, the King entered the room. I had nothing but to hold my head down and cry. Praise God for good wives. In one touch, he reached down and changed my heart of stone to flesh. He didn't say where I tripped up. He didn't say what I messed up. He picked me up and brushed me off. He said, son, I love you. And he restored his peace in me that had been missing for a long time. Now my eyes are watered up and I can't see my notes. Yes, God does love Paul. Thank you, Jim. That's what confirmation is all about.
Okay.
The sixth stage of my eyes are watering, y'all, is stabilization. This is where our character stabilizes. Okay, it's also where those four positive C's of faith building come into play. Being convinced becomes confidence, becomes courage, becomes conquest. In Acts 2:14-41, Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, gives his first sermon, has an altar call, and 3,000 lives are added to Christ that day. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, this is great, isn't it? That is what I call conquest. That's my own fault for crying up on stage. That's my deal.
So good.
The final stage of character development is reflecting. And we look at 1 and 2 Peter. We're not going to read it today. But you read 1 and 2 Peter, and that is written by a man who in no way doubts who he is in Christ. That is a man that is on fire for Christ to the point of proclaiming our Lord to the death. And not just any death.
Yeah.
Not just any death. He was going to be crucified, and he said, no, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And he was crucified upside down. That's the kind of confidence that I want to live by. We are all in some stage of character development, developing the characteristics of Christ. As I summarize, consider your character and where you are in the stages of development. Are you in crisis? Crisis is the first step in that. What's the crisis that you're facing right now? Maybe you're in the questioning stage. You're searching for answers. Where are you asking the questions, and of whom are you asking them? Maybe you're at a point of profession. Is it time to stand in faith? Time to stand on the confession that you've made? Or maybe you're in that challenge stage where your faith is being rocked right now, and you are having to stand. The challenge phase is the hardest phase in character development, because it's when the enemy's going to unload on you trying to break what you're confident in. Yeah. But walking out the challenge brings your confirmation. And then stabilization. You start to walk with singleness of mind. Your purpose is focused. And then you have reflection. And the people around you that know you are going to be able to look at you and go, there is a new creation in Christ. The bottom line is this: believing that the Bible is the Word of God isn't the first step of developing godly character. It is the most important step. It's really all that matters, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So who here is in one of those stages? We're all in some stage of character development. If we're following Christ, we're all in some stage of character development. If you are, our altar team is going to be coming up. If you are, come on down. Let somebody pray with you through that. Yeah. Altar team? I heard crickets.
That's usually my gig.
So if you have prayer, if you want to get prayer for this, come on down. Let somebody partner with you. Let somebody lift you up to God. Maybe you're facing a crisis that you can't find the answer to. Maybe you're here this morning searching for answers because you have nowhere else to turn. Well, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is the only answer that will ever fully satisfy your question. Amen. He is the only hope in a hopeless situation. He is the only one that can calm the storm. Amen. So if any of you want to meet him, if you come down and you get prayer, that's great. Just whisper it to the people that are here. They can introduce you to a Savior that will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Really, all you have to do is ask. So, Lord God, we thank you so much for the people that are here today. We just ask, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would move on hearts. Lord, I thank you again that this opportunity was here and that your word was spoken, Father God. I just ask that you would be in every heart today and your peace would overwhelm. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.